Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were.
Going well. How are you?
Good. Welcome to another episode of Laser Graves.
Yeah, this is episode 422.
Yeah, it's close. Uh-huh. Pretty close to that.
Oh, okay.
Feels like it. No, it doesn't.
Ouch.
I'm your co-host, E.K. Wimmer, and you are?
I'm co-host Mariah Rose Wimmer, also known as Lord of the Dogs.
Does it... count if you give yourself the nickname?
Well, you've called me Lord of the Dogs. I'm training our children to call me that instead of Mom, so we're good.
Okay. I'm just trying to encourage your behavior.
Yeah. I was just looking at a dog adoption website before we came in here.
That's not what Lord of the Dogs comes from.
Yeah, because that's what it means now.
Okay. You've adjusted.
Whatever.
How's your week been?
Good. I had a weird dream that I was waiting to tell you now until right now. So last night I had this dream that I was in a truck in the middle of nowhere and I got out for whatever reason and there was a skunk and I looked at it and it did a handstand and I was like, oh no, it's going to spray me. And I started to like close the door to the truck and then I thought, no, I love skunk smell. So I let it spray me. And then I woke up and I was in that state of being partially awake, partially asleep. And I felt so sad that I had let the skunk spray me because now you wouldn't want to hang out with me. But it didn't. It wasn't real. Okay.
Is it weird that skunks often do handstands?
Is that a thing?
Like in cartoons, at least, right?
Well, I've seen like drawings of it, so there must be some reality based.
It's like they know their weapon, and they know they can optimize it by doing a handstand.
It's like your parents' dog Daiquiri that did a handstand to poop.
Oh yeah, well he would like position himself onto a bush,
but he would do
in
a
handstand.
Yeah, and then poop onto the bush. That was weird.
Good times.
So yeah, my week was good.
Good. Yeah.
Yours?
Yeah, pretty good week too. Just long day today, but it's the weekend. We record on Fridays, so good way to look forward to something every Friday night. We haven't done any thrifting really this week. So well, we did last weekend, but I think. We didn't really discuss it.
I bought a container for my flour and then I immediately broke it. That's all I have.
I found today, actually, a copy of Parents on VHS.
That's 80s, right?
Yeah, and it's such a... We haven't watched that in forever.
I don't remember it. I don't know that I've seen it.
It's great. It's got Randy Quaid. It's like a really cool kind of 50s style.
Yeah, I think I've seen part of it, but I don't know that I've ever seen the entire thing.
I think you have. Mm-hmm. I think the last time we saw it was... This is a segue. Basically, the last time we saw the movie we're about to discuss.
Oh.
Today, we're going to be discussing... Hell Comes to Frogtown from 1988. And
88? That late?
Yeah. I was so immediately within, I would say, the first 5 minutes of the film, my first overwhelming thought was, when was the last time we saw this? Because this is not the film that I remember. When did we see this last?
I would guess in undergrad when I bet we got it at Landl's, the movie
I think we've seen it before
store.
Then. Oh, yeah, maybe it was Landl's. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
So Landl's was a really another like kind of seedy movie rental place. And
oh, well, it wasn't seedy, really. It just had really cool selection.
No, because it had that weird, like, curtained room where the adult videos
were.
Well,
I mean, that was just, like, video rental stores.
But it was only super creepy dudes would go back there.
Sure. I mean, it had a curtain over it. What do you expect?
I guess, yeah, whatever.
This was in the same town, if you guys, listeners, remember or listen to the Killer Workout episode.
Yes.
Same small town, two video rental stores, and mm-hmm. both had pretty good collections. Landl's, though, had a really good selection of trauma films. Do you remember? They had, like, a massive selection.
Is this trauma?
No, this isn't trauma. But it just reminds me that there was a really good selection in there, too.
Yeah.
So, that might have been the last time we saw it. So that was still, 17 years ago or so? Maybe more than that?
We were just an undergrad, like, 2 years ago.
Okay. from what I remember was, Hell Comes to Frogtown. It's that B movie, post-apocalyptic with Rowdy Roddy Piper. Uh-huh. That was fun. Let's watch it again. Let's do it for Laser Graves because we love post-apocalyptic films.
Yep.
What?
I also like frogs.
Yeah, sure. And I like Rowdy Roddy Piper. And so I don't
like him much after watching this.
Well, just watch They Live and then it'll be restored. It'll balance out.
All right.
So I remember the post-apocalyptic angle. I didn't realize that it's actually
horrible.
It's like a sex comedy or that's like what it's built. It's like supposed to be like a sexual comedy.
Yeah, there's not any, I don't think there's any actual sex in this.
No, it's implied.
Lots of jokes made about rape, so that's hilarious.
Well, they don't make jokes about rape. They just rape in a funny manner.
Oh, gosh.
I just don't know how to even put this into, I don't know. I've been kind of dreading it. I remember we were like 5 or 10 minutes in, and I thought maybe we should do a different film. But you know what? It's cool. It's entertaining, to say the least. It's just got some spots in it that are cringeworthy. However, overall, it's a solid B movie.
Well, I would say that it's like watching a movie from the 70s, the 60s. You know, there's just this, you have to go, that's from a different time. And we can comment on it here because it's appalling in 21st century eyes, but also, there's lots of really campy, hilarious moments, too.
I don't know if I'd say hilarious.
Well, hilariously awful. How about that?
I'd say the funny moments don't come when they were meant to be funny.
No. Never is a joke that they intentionally make funny.
Except for one. I will mention it. No, yeah, there is one that made me laugh out loud.
No, I was thinking, like, as we were watching it, every single joke they've tried to make has either offended me or just like made me die inside because it was so terribly bad.
It's the 80s kind of humor. I'm wondering as this podcast goes on if we'll discover things like this is the first real case, like solid case of a film that I thought I really enjoyed and I still kind of enjoy, but I see it in a different way now because I'm clearly not, you know, my late teens or early 20s watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I start to think about some of the other films that I grew up on that I was like, oh, yeah, such a great film. I've caught some of them since then, and they do not hold up well as far as their treatment of people, the jokes, the way they land. But you're right. I mean, we got our degrees in history. We know better. You're not supposed to, like, analyze it from modern eyes. You're supposed to kind of be aware of it in the time in which it was created. And unfortunately for Hell Comes to Frogtown, what was the other one we watched not too long ago, post-apocalyptic, Boy and His Dog?
Oh.
Do you remember that one?
That was
a weird scene where he, like, just forces himself on her. But then it was like, wait, what just happened? It was kind of that same.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, let's just get into it. Okay, so
it starts with a nuclear holocaust.
Well, it starts with a voiceover.
Yes. Whose voice is it?
I don't know, but I love that it's just total stock footage of, like, explosions.
Mushroom clouds.
Yeah, mushroom clouds. They couldn't get the rights to. They just took it. And it talks about how in 10 days, everything was blown to dust.
Yes.
So essentially, humans, like, freaked out on each other. And you know, classic premise for post-apocalyptic, which I'm all for. I mean, and it's really...
And it's appropriate, the 1980s. We have Cold War. That was, like, a very valid fear. So
sure,
I can see where
the,
they would build a movie that was stemming from that fear.
It would have still been a very, very much in the forefront because the Iron Curtain didn't fall until a year later, right, in 89.
Yeah.
So... makes sense, but it starts with, you know, you get a voiceover, which
of,
is fine.
Of a voice that we never truly identify.
Maybe we did if we went back. I just don't care enough.
No.
Then it opens up, and it's like a post-apocalyptic landscape.
Yeah, there's the Statue of Liberty, like, sitting in a dusty, barren landscape.
And this is your first joke.
Oh,
is
yeah.
It's the Statue of Liberty, kind of Planet of the Apes style, until... somebody reaches down and picks it up, and you realize it was just a toy, like, model of the Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
And that's when you realize what we're in for, and that's when I immediately pulled up my phone real fast, IMDb'd, and realized it was billed as a comedy. And I was like, oh.
If you have to check that it's been billed
as like,
a comedy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man. And then it got
good.
Me thinking about how difficult of a genre that is. Horror comedy, or anything like that. Comedy, like sci-fi comedy, it's very difficult. I was thinking about horror, like, some of the ones that work are obviously, like, Shaun of the Dead or House 2 or something like
that. I want to watch Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I mean, those work, but it's few and far between. This is not horror, even. This is, like, post-apocalyptic comedy.
I guess.
Thought, man, how do you even pull that off? Can you think of any post-apocalyptic comedies done well? Only one came to mind.
What?
Turbo Kid.
Oh, but it's not even that funny, though. It's just pretty cool.
It's still pretty funny.
I don't know.
Anyway, well, because that's when I realized, like, oh, we're watching a post-apocalyptic comedy, I guess.
And that's unclear.
Then we meet Squid Lips, who's this guy in a mask.
Yeah, so there's, like, a fight scene between a guy in a beanet and a beekeeper's hat, kind of.
That guy's costume...
Oh, you liked it?
No, it looked like
it looks like somebody's laundry bag.
It
put
looked
over
like
his head.
He was left to his own devices to come up with his own quote unquote post-apocalyptic attire. Because
it looked like
what my friends and I wore when we made films as children. Like,
do you remember when we had family post-apocalyptic night with the girls?
Yeah, we have a photo shoot. We did a family photo, remember?
Yes.
That's amazing. We should share that on
good call.
On our social media.
Okay, so let's get through this first scene. They are fighting at, like, just a man, and then also, like, the beanet laundry basket guy. And then he shoots the regular human who calls him Squid Lips.
Yeah.
And then he makes a ribbit sound.
And the score right here is pretty cool. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a good score. And then, boy, does it crashes and burns.
Well, I have one note about the score. We'll get to it
later.
Okay,
well, but it started off good. It was very misleading, like most of this film.
Then we see a sign that says, Wanted Sam Hell. And then it's stamped, like cartoony stamped, captured.
Right, because Sam Hell is our star of the show. Roddy Piper.
Also, is Roddy... it feels like it's an Australian name.
Well, he was like a Scottish wrestler, so I'm assuming Roddy is like from Scotland.
Maybe.
Because he wore
a
kilt, and that was like his shtick.
Not in
the
movie,
WWF.
Though. Okay.
Anyway, that's who we meet. That's our star, and that's who's just been captured.
Oof. This is like...
what?
Is this his first acting gig?
You know, no, first off, because he was in the WWF, technically speaking, he's a
great
actor.
Well, he lives up to the standard set by WWF.
Here's what's crazy is I was like, when did this come out in relation to They Live? Because They Live is such a great film.
I don't even remember it.
Same year.
Oh.
Isn't that wild?
Well, I don't remember They Live, so.
Oh, well.
Okay.
All of our listeners needed to plug their ears when you just said that.
Oh, okay, so then we go to an interrogation scene. There's Roddy Piper, who is Sam Hell. That we'll call him Sam or Sam Hell the whole movie.
Or Mr. Hell.
Okay. He's been accused of rape, and he's being, like, beaten by a cop or Border Patrol agent or something. And then there's, like, mention made of the person who he assaulted has become pregnant. And this is when there's like jokes about how he's carrying a loaded weapon. So we get the sense that most of the men are and women are infertile. So for him to impregnate a woman is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then these two women, the med techs, come in.
Right.
And the med techs are a group of female-led, I guess they're medical, but also military.
Like, yeah, that's unclear. The general guy who's like interrogating him.
He's separate. He's a separate entity.
Yeah. So Spangle is our main nurse kind of med tech lady.
The blondie?
Yeah, with the glasses. Okay. And so she comes in. What's happened is she informs us that after the war, the male population was reduced by 68%. And most of them are infertile. So they're having a major issue with keeping the population going. And they found a string of impregnations and found out that they were all linked to him, basically just hanging out, living his life. And they're finding he's leaving a wake of pregnant women behind
him. He also had been accused of rape. And
right. But then they said, oh, he's just like impregnating every woman he's coming across. So
great.
That's like the premise. And that's how they track him down.
And they say they're willing to overlook, like drop all charges if he is willing to take his high sperm count with him to the wastelands, like beyond the borders of safety, and help them rescue some women who've been captured by frog people.
Yeah, because they're fertile. So they're like the prime.
It's unclear how they know these women are fertile, but apparently yeah. These women are all fertile.
It will later be revealed because of their awesome hair.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Clearly yes. Those women can have babies.
If you
with
have
hair like that, you need to pass on
those
genetics.
And yeah. That spiky of hair, you know.
Your kids need to be alive. So here's the one and only time one of the jokes like landed well for me is there's a shot when they first are in med tech, like, and he's pinned down, and the camera's panning through the med tech building,
mm-hmm.
and there's a sign that says med tech, and then their slogan is, making babies is our business, our only business. And I thought that was funny.
Oh, okay. I didn't even laugh at it.
I still think it's funny.
I don't.
Okay. So yeah, frog people have taken women hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then this is when we meet our other main actress, Sentinella.
Is that her name? Is that the like buff?
Oh yeah, the
driver?
Cool one. Yeah.
Oh, we need to mention also that Sam is wearing sort of a male chastity belt.
It's like loaded to explode if he tries to.
And it's linked to her earrings.
Well, we don't find that out yet.
Okay, but...
Yeah, sure. Oh, we didn't want to give that away too soon.
No.
It would blow the whole movie.
Oh, it would blow it.
Oh, yeah.
But he... you're right. It is set to explode if he tries to make a dash. And he's like, well, how am I supposed to impregnate all these women in the wastelands if I'm wearing this? And they're like, don't worry, there's a flap. And it's supposed to be funny.
Oh, but also if he tries to do anything sexually without their permission, it like... beeps and alarms because he's got the goods and
it's got a lot of rules.
They don't want him to waste it. So
I think any chastity belt of any type, whether it's fully chaste chastity belt or not, has to have a lot of rules.
Yeah, it's true. Sentinella, is that a candle, by the way?
Uh-huh. It smells like lemons.
How do you spell that?
I don't know. Are you thinking citronella?
Oh, citronella what keeps mosquitoes away?
Yes.
Oh, I was totally confused. I was like, why do they name her after a mosquito candle? Okay, never mind. Sentinella. She's a badass. She's definitely my favorite character in the film. She's pretty fun. She's got this cool look where she's got like a string of bullets.
She's wearing like camo underwear.
Well, not underwear, like shorts. And then,
at one point she's just got camouflaged underwear.
Well,
on.
But her normal outfit is like,
oh, okay.
Tan shorts, boots, like a muscle shirt, a string of bullets, and then very slick back hair. Short,
yeah,
slick back
like
hair.
It's like crisp.
It's like Demi Moore 80s slick back hair.
But then also with like five more gobs of like gel put
yeah.
into it until it's a cemented helmet
yeah.
that can deflect bullets.
She's cool. She's definitely, of all the actors, I'd want that role.
Oh, also, this is where we need to learn where the music took a real downturn for me.
Oh,
they,
please.
They
yeah,
start,
tell us.
It's women's voices humming.
Oh,
the ants
yeah, yeah.
will go
oh,
marching on.
Yes, the ants go marching on, but it's...
And they do it a few times.
But it's women chanting, like, hauntingly. Yeah, it's...
Why did they do that?
I don't know. But I was... Okay, you know what? Maybe I do like this score now that I'm thinking about it. May I...
Oh, my goodness.
To be determined.
You know what? We should have a vowel renewal ceremony and have that be the song that be,
like
we march down the aisle
slowly
to.
Slowly march up, like one foot sliding to the next foot at a time. Also, the location's cool. It's California. I read up on that location.
Oh, I thought it was Nevada.
No, it's Nevada. A place called the Indian Dunes, and it's later. It's all been plowed down for development, sadly. But this was the last film ever shot there before they plowed it down. I thought it was a really cool location. Yes, so after the women chanting, the ants go marching one by one.
They get in the pink. It's like a PT Cruiser.
With a machine gun on top.
Yep. It's like a proto PT Cruiser.
I wouldn't say PT Cruiser as much as like a paddy wagon, like the like a cake delivery in the 50s kind of thing.
It's
or
pink.
Like an ice cream. Yeah.
It's very, very pink, and they're driving it into the wastelands. But yeah, first, they have to go through...
A checkpoint.
The checkpoint, border patrol.
Did you catch... I think it's just because we paused it to, like, get up and do something. Did you see Spangle hands the guard, the border patrol guard, a pass to get through?
Uh-huh.
Did... It's paused, and I looked, and at that very moment, if you look closely in her hand, the piece of paper just in big print says, pass.
It's pretty clear.
So,
it's the end of the world. I mean, they need to be pretty to the point. But the Border Patrol guard is the guy that had arrested Sam Hell earlier.
Right. And so he has it out for him.
I would, too. I mean, how frustrated would you be if this guy is like a violent offender, you've captured him, and then women... set him free to go continue exploiting women?
Yeah.
I would be so furious.
But the government's, like, going to pay all expenses.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't make the most sense, I'll say that.
Yep.
Because we didn't even discuss who... Let me flash back real quick. This is directed by two people, Donald G. Jackson, who wrote it, and R.J. Kaiser.
From the Kaiser Permanente family.
Sure. Yeah, he spent his fortune on this. He didn't really do anything, but he made a huge living doing, like, editing and sound stuff or something like that for Blockbuster. Still to this day, he's on, like, every major film. So he just sidestepped this whole thing and went on to have a very big career. The other guy, Donald G. Jackson, I thought you would appreciate this, took this gem of a movie and turned it into a franchise that nobody's ever seen.
What?
There are multiples.
More?
Yes.
Is Rowdy Roddy Piper in all of them?
Of course not.
Oh.
No, he... Definitely. But you know who's in part two?
Who?
Lou Ferrigno. It's called Return to Frogtown.
Oh my goodness.
1993. And then there was a follow-up originally called Toad Warrior.
Oh.
Get it? So the jokes continue.
I get it. It's just real bad.
That was supposed to come out in 96, but I guess it didn't come out
in 96. They thought this was the time.
It didn't come out until 2002, and it's called Max Hell Frog Warrior. So there you go.
Oh,
something to look forward
goodness.
To on a lonely Saturday night.
This is like when they say, you know what? Don't let anybody block your dreams. Just keep persevering and it'll happen. Except for it's not happening.
This is one of those classic cases when things are created that nobody asked for.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't know. Never mind. I'm not going to watch it.
No defending this.
Yeah, this is a solid pass on that.
So they're going to rescue the women, the fertile women. Because
they're heading to Frogtown.
For some reason, the mutants kidnapped them. I don't know if they ever explained
to
that.
Make them like a harem of their own. To
Yeah,
it's like sex slaves, basically.
Nice.
Sure. Like you do in post-apocalyptic world.
They're going to get them out. Then Spangler says, we're going to get them out, and then you're going to get them pregnant.
Yeah, this is the female.
And she, yes, the blonde med tech lady who's leading the charge.
Yes.
So then he tries to run away at some point.
Yeah, he's not having any of this,
he's
by the
like,
way.
He's like, no.
Like, yeah, he doesn't believe in this plan. He doesn't. He's like a drifter who just wants to go
he wants
do his
to
things.
Sexually assault whomever he feels like sexually
Yeah, on his
assaulting.
Own time, his own rules. Having a shock collar around his crotch is not part of his plan.
Yeah, so he tries to run away.
And that's when we find that there's like a radius to it. Starts
yes.
beeping. He does the classic, like, eyes crossed, finger over the crotch, fall over, knees bent in. Ooh, you know, it's really not funny. Do you know what I mean?
It's yeah. so bad.
It's like a cartoon character. And then she comes up.
She has big, round, white earrings.
Yeah, like, it's like a gem in the holograms kind of thing where there's, like, magical earrings.
She, like, touches one.
Yeah, she spins
something
one.
Something happens.
And then she says the other one, I wrote it down, but I forgot it now, was like a... I can't even remember. It's some stupid term. Mm. But basically, she can control it on and off with her by touching her earring.
Her giant 80s earrings control
yes.
his chastity
belt. So
that's
belt. What we find out. And then it kind of goes forward into the night where they're set up camp.
Yeah, this gets weird. So then she
very weird.
She puts on camo undies now. It's like a full camouflage underwear set. And she tries to seduce him?
Spangle.
Yes, Blondie Spangle.
Okay, yes.
Spangler.
Spangler's like Ghostbusters.
Okay, whatever.
So, Spangle.
Blonde glasses med tech lady.
Yes, tries to seduce him, and he's like, no thank you, and just rolls over to go to bed.
Yep, and she gets real hurt by this
definitely.
For whatever purpose. Maybe it's because she's insecure about being infertile, because we learned she's infertile.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Boy, I somehow missed that.
Yep.
So
it's like
factoid.
A false alarm for intercourse, but then it's not over yet.
Right.
He turned her down, then the, like...
Citronella.
Decides she's going to take a crack at him.
Yeah, and so she just hops on top of him. You know what I thought about this scene?
He's not that magnetic of a personality?
It's not even about that. He's, the, like, one of the only known dudes... And 68% of the men have been wiped out. It's not far-fetched that women who never interact with men might want to just... She looks like the type that... She reminds me of... This is why I was like...
She looks like the type who's not interested in men.
No, I'm going to argue this. Mm. She looks more like... do you remember Dina Meyer's character on Starship Troopers? Disney?
Yeah, yeah.
She's got that quality about her, where she takes what she wants, and then she doesn't want anybody to mess with her. Like,
but it's
she sets
pretty,
her own rules.
It's pretty presumptuous that at the end of the world that women would be even interested. They'd be like, thanks, guys, but you guys did all the bombing. We're fine. Let's call it a day.
Yeah, maybe. There might just be some women who are like, cool, I want to get laid.
I don't know. I didn't buy any bit of it because he is so unattractive as a human being, like not about his looks, just he's an awful character, but for some reason they're like, I'll go for this guy.
Yeah, it's really they're willing to look past
they're overlooking
no
a great
redeeming
deal.
Qualities
yes there
just
is
to get laid
there is nothing from
like
start
lining
to
up
finish
for it too.
From start to finish he is the worst. What about the border patrol guy? I don't know that he's fertile, but who cares? He's at least a nice person.
Yeah, but he's not like younger.
Ew, I don't know. He's probably the same age. Rowdy Roddy Piper's got, like, leather skin at this point, so who can tell?
Man.
He's so tan. They're all just so very tan. That was the 80s look, where everybody went to a tanning bed and, like, cooked themselves.
Yeah. I didn't get that.
Every single person is so very tan.
Okay. I mean, I thought that...
It's shocking. Go look at it again, and you're going to be like, whoa, we have learned how to apply some sunscreen since 1988.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, anyway, she tries to seduce him also,
yes.
And then his alarm goes off, and that's when the other woman comes out and
yes.
has her earring and touches it.
She gets mad.
She says, quote, you're out of uniform, corporal, to Citronella. She leaves. Then, if that wasn't bad enough, they spot like some dirty, grungy...
Yeah, they wake up the next morning, they're out driving, and there's like a feral woman running through...
Isn't it that same night?
That's like... I think they drove another day. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't pay attention to a lot of this movie. This is a slow burn for me. It's got most of the stuff I like, but so much of it I just tuned out. But,
okay, yeah, it's the next day. So we have coitus interruptus with Citronella. Then they're out driving the next day, and she shows him his contract about how he has to impregnate a bunch of women.
You're right.
And yes. He tears it up and throws it out, and then they kick him out of the car because of that. And they go driving off, but since he has his chastity belt on, he has to chase the car. And then they're like, ha ha ha, and they pull over to set up camp for another night. And that's when they find a feral woman. They capture her. They bind her. They give her a shot of, ecstasy in her butt cheek.
Cosby drug.
Yeah. Oh. And so they tell him to get ready for work because he's going to impregnate this woman tonight.
He's not happy about this either.
At least to his credit, he's not cool with that.
No, because he says... She hasn't even brushed her teeth.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Because he's got standards, you know.
Yes. So he's not into it, and they try to inspire him. The Spangle woman tries to inspire him with a sexy dance.
Flocked all this out.
Oh, it's so
awful. Was this supposed to be funny?
I don't know if it was supposed to be sexy or funny. It's very... very confusing.
There's a fine line between what is sexy and what's funny.
I mean, potato, potato.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know. I very truly don't know if it was supposed to be funny or serious.
I'm going to say it was neither sexy nor funny.
But also hilarious.
It was something.
But it was super uncomfortable to watch,
too. It was very
uncomfortable
to watch.
So it's just a woman, dancing around in her underwear for a strangely long time. Mm. But there's lots of, raising your hands up in the air and then, rubbing a thigh. And I don't know what happened.
I feel like she was improv-ing.
Oh, for sure. So she tries to inspire him with her seduction techniques. And I have the note as I was watching this. This is the weirdest seduction ever. And she becomes discouraged because it's not working. And he tells her to get dressed and take off her glasses. So, you know, once again, he's a real winner.
Yeah.
Makes fun of her sexy dance. And then he makes eye contact with her. I don't know. He decides he's going to fertilize this other woman.
Yeah, I guess he's willing to do it for her.
He feels bad that he hurt her feelings?
Yeah, he feels bad for her, so he's going to go ahead and do it for her.
Okay.
And then it's the next morning.
The fertilized woman is now cool with all this. She's like...
Oh, she's like showered somehow, too, and changed her clothes, too. Remember? Because she's like shows...
Fresh and clean from being like a dirty feral person.
She went from being like... the kid in, is it Mad Max, that feral kid that runs around with the boomerang? Yeah. She was like, she went from that to just being like a normal 80s chick. Yeah.
And she's like, thanks, guys. She's super content with what happened to her being captured.
Sure.
And impregnated, apparently they can tell. And they're like, just go that way to the border. They'll treat you like a queen because you're pregnant. So she's totes cool with it. She thanks them and heads on her way. And then the med tech is now wearing some sort of a slave costume.
She gets a plan. Spangle's like, we need to sneak into Frogtown to get these women. And her plan is she opens up the back of paddy wagon, and she's got a slave costume, like an S&M thing, with a chain around her neck. Mm-hmm. And she hands him the chain and is like, I'm your captive. This is how we're going to get in. And he tries to ham it up with you don't like being
jerked around.
Jerked around because he's mad about his shock crotch collar. And, none of it works. It all falls flat.
Very terrible.
Yeah, it's just...
But this is their entry into Frogtown.
Right. And they enter and the first thing we see, surprise, are frog strippers.
Just one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because she's the contact, remember?
Oh, is that the contact?
Yes.
Okay.
So they enter Frogtown. They go to a bar, and there's the erotic frog dancer. And
a friend. He sees an old friend named Looney Tunes.
Yes. Yeah, Looney Tunes. That's right.
And you caught it before I did.
Thank you. Thank old, you for this credit.
Rory Calhoun, who he was a huge Western actor, but we will always know and admire and love him for one role, which is...
Hotel Hell.
Yep. Farmer Vincent. So, who knew?
Yeah. So he's a uranium miner. And...
Oh, you wrote that down?
Yes. That's why he's in Frogtown.
Okay.
I took notes. Look
you
at
know,
all these
this
notes.
This is the least amount of notes I've ever taken. And I think you were maybe a bit more involved. Oh, but you
just...
did fall asleep at this point, right? And that's when you were like, we need to stop and continue the next night.
No, it's still, I've still got a ways. It's right around Dance of the Three Snakes that I fell asleep.
Oh.
I made a note. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. So we meet his friend, Looney Tunes.
This is confusing because they're like, they said he was 80 when he was born or something. So, but Roddy Piper is at least in his 30s, and that's being generous with his youth.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I can't
Maybe
tell.
Maybe mid-20s. It was the 80s. It's hard to always tell in the 80s.
It's because of their tanned skin.
Okay.
I feel like it makes people look older. So I can't tell his age. But so Leroy is like 120, apparently.
No, Leroy.
Or not Looney Tunes, excuse me. And that's when...
We meet Leroy. Yes. Leroy's a frog who's very well-dressed. And offers him, I was like, is he like a dapper, like, gentleman? He offers Sam Hell beer, and it's radioactive Coors, and Sam's very excited to drink it.
Oh, gross.
Then he goes on about the frogs are pissed because we get this story, which I think was already implied, but now it's really getting hammered home, that during that war... The radiation and all that created a species of frogs that turn into like mutant frog people. And so the frogs are really resentful and mad about it.
Are they mad that they're part human or that humans treat them differently?
Yeah, they're mad because they're on like a reservation is what they call it. So rounded them all up and forced them over and treat them like second class citizens. And so they're really upset with the humans about it. And so it's really hostile, and then he offers to buy Spangle from him for 50 lilies.
yep. And then a big bullfrog comes in, and he, like, confronts, Leroy, the kingpin guy, and decides to auction Spangle off instead.
His name's Bull, too, isn't
Yes,
it?
Bull yeah. the okay. frog. And he's, okay. like, the big dude.
He's, like, this punk frog, this bully. Bull, oh, get
yeah.
it?
And
I bet that was planned with their sense of humor.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, and he punches Sam.
And knocks him out.
Yeah, and takes Spangle and is, like, done. So.
Yep. And then the erotic frog dancer comes up. And this is kind of when we learn that she's their contact. I think she says, I love you, or some secret code.
Right.
And that's when they all realize she's the contact that's supposed
to smuggle
to help
the
them.
Girls out.
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
When does Spangle try and escape? Is it right after this?
Well, what happens? Okay, I'm looking at my notes here because I'm lost. Erotic frog dancer rescues him. Meanwhile, she's taken into the mine. And then we go back to a frog seduction situation that's happening where the female frog contact is trying to
hook up with
Sam Hell for whatever reason. And then he tells her to put a bag on her face.
He did that so he could run away, like sneak out. And then he starts to sneak out. And then is interrupted.
Because his chastity belt's beeping.
Right, because she's being taken, because Spangle's being taken farther away than he can
like out of
her.
His radius.
So he needs to run and try and find her so his crotch doesn't explode.
And then the frog lady falls into some wires or something, and she's like, just go, just go.
Yeah, I
It was weird, because she could have just gotten up.
Then it gets to... there is a scene where Spangle tries to escape... because I have a note. I'm just trying to figure out in this mess where it falls. But I just wrote, she tries to escape during a xylophone solo.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Let me get you up to date real quick. So he finds the med tech being held by Bull. He's in the background, like lurking in the shadows. She's been sold, and Sam, I guess he falls. And the Motel Hell guy and the frog lady seem to kind of hook up somehow. And then Spangle is bound to a bed. This all happens real fast and makes very little sense. But then the medtech Spangle lady is bound to a bed while a bunch of women, who we are soon to learn, are the fertile women who have been put into some sort of a harem situation, are dancing around her. Meanwhile, Sam is tied up, and the bullfrog guy wants to do exploratory surgery on him with a chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the chainsaw scene. That's when you wanted to go to bed.
Not quite. Then there's a lot of silk waving in the harem, where they try to teach Spangle the dance of the three snakes. And then we go back to the chainsaw attack, but the chainsaw runs out of gas. The crotch alarm goes off. Frog Lady and Motel Hell Guy are still hanging out. This is when I called it a night.
Okay.
And then we went to day two.
Oh, yeah, right, because this was definitely a two-part.
I looked at you and I was like, I'm in no way going to make this. I'm sorry. I have to go to bed. It was so bad.
There's some point where Squid Lips is selling guns to the frogs, too. Did you catch that?
No.
Okay.
Wait.
Well,
okay.
Also, I have another note. This is probably right after the xylophone solo.
That was during the harem scene.
Okay. I just wrote, the score is a disaster, but then I wrote, in a good way?
Yeah.
So then Sam escapes with the help of the frog lady.
And the
she
old man.
She helps him escape, but then she gets shot in the process and dies.
Yes.
That solves the problem. But and then we go to the really pinnacle of this movie, the dance of the three snakes.
So, yeah, we actually go back to one more training for the dance of the three snakes. And the women, like, Spangle's asking, you know, why don't you guys just escape? And they explain that they're pacifists and that's why they've stayed.
And then she's like, well, maybe we will. And then they all get the, like, courage to. And then she's immediately captured. And they're like, on second thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was supposed to be a joke, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
And then she's taken to Count Sodom, is his name?
Ooh.
And to this do is, the dance of the three snakes, which he just shouts, dance for me. But, in defense, I feel like we've been hard on this movie for a good reason. The frog costume that he's wearing, like the special effects, are really cool.
On specifically this costume.
Yes, because so amazing.
You know, what I noticed is there's quite a difference between their main characters and the other, like, randos.
Mm.
Because the main ones have a full frog mask that's functional. And then the, like, sentries, the ones that are guarding entryways.
Greenies is what they're called.
Oh. They're, like, wearing basically just green makeup that they clearly put on themselves. And, like, maybe they rub some goop on their face. It looks like their face melted and then they put green paint on top.
Yeah.
It is very different.
Main leader, the bad guy, his frog costume is incredible.
Yes. And
it looks great. I was like, dang.
It is good. The eyes look moist. The skin looks damp.
I feel like
damp.
This special effects costume was put to waste on this movie, but
yeah, it would be a rad Halloween costume.
It was incredible. Anyway, yes. So then we get the legendary dance of the three snakes, which at one point she says, I'm positive I heard her say, the term modern ballet when she was like trying to figure out what she was going to do.
Oh, yeah. She goes, modern or ballet? Because he says, dance.
Oh.
And she goes, modern or ballet?
Was that a joke?
Yes. It was supposed to be a joke.
Okay.
And at some point, somebody, I don't even know, but in my notes, it says, very slow, angry face. And then somebody whispers to her, dance or die. And so she, like, goes, well, cool, gonna do the dance of the three snakes.
Oh, and boy, does she. It is, holy cow, I could have taken a nap and woke up. Like, it went on forever.
It felt kind of like watching 2001 A Space Odyssey. It was, like, lots of, I just felt like I was going in and out of consciousness as I was watching
transporting it. Transporting it to another dimension. I'm assuming the director just said, we're gonna just roll, just...
Well, she has some dance background.
She's going to show it, too. So, a little pirouette
Yeah, she first starts, like, spaz dancing and then realizes she has to be seductive. And then we get to see this person's interpretation of a seductive dance.
Which is only working on one creature in the entire world, and that is the Frog Lord. Because I was like, what is happening right now? It was going on so long, but... It was working for him. He was like, this is definitely the dance I was longing for.
Yeah.
This is amazing. We'll just skip ahead because it really does go on for a long time. The scene could have been cut down
It's so horrific.
And then he just decides, okay, now we're good. Come to me because I'm going to have you. And she's like, no way, Jose. And... then this is going to cause a lot of problems, but Sam shows up just in the nick of time to shoot up the place and make their grand escape.
Also, at some point here, the old guy, the Motel Hell guy, Looney Tunes, shoots a flare up and kind of alerts the Citronella, who's been waiting in the wings outside for, I guess, like a couple days. The Frog King at this point had also called her to Spangle to him, and she kicks him right in the three snakes.
Good one.
Yes.
And then this is where we find out after Sam comes and shoots up the place and they, like, they're running away that not only can Spangle dance, she's also an actress, because remember, she puts on a little performance to fool one of the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, pretends she's somebody, and I'm like, oh.
She's acting like the three snakes situation happened.
Oh, right, yeah.
She's like, the three snakes!
Yeah, and I was like, I have a note that says, turns out Spangle can dance, act, and fight. It's a triple threat. So, they make their escape, they rescue all the women. By the way, there's only, like, four girls. Like, all of this entire film was based around, like, four people.
But they're extremely fertile.
So they
pacifists.
Assume. Yeah, pacifists.
And then also, this is when Citronella drives up and says, you guys gonna eat dirt or lead?
She's so cool.
She is pretty cool.
Sentinella.
Citronella.
Okay.
So they escape. Wait. They haven't escaped. The Motel Hell guy comes running, too. And then they drive off.
You took way more notes than I did.
You're welcome.
The frogs chase them in this post-apocalyptic Jeep with a cannon. That was kind of cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then all of a sudden, the Motel Hell guy has a bloody head and he dies. Like, there's been no evidence of... him being, like, shot.
But he's surrounded by the women, and he's like, I hope this is what heaven... And then he just dies.
Yeah. And then I have the note, people pretend to care.
And then they kick his corpse out the door.
Basically. No. And then the frog folks attack. They're, like, shooting at them.
Right, with a cannon.
Yep.
And then we get Squid Lips, who's been hanging out up in the dune. Like, he's up in the hills. And this, it turns into a full, like, Tusken Raider scene from Star Wars. Did you not?
No.
He's, like, wearing the same kind of outfit, and he's, like, hanging out in the dunes, and it's got the sideswipe editing, like Star Wars and everything. I'm like, what's going on? And then Squid Lips, turns out he's the general guy?
The Border Patrol guy.
Yeah.
From the beginning. And he is ranting about how there's too many women... and how he trades arms to the frogs for uranium.
There you go. Okay.
How he, it's just boring.
He's threatening them, and he's got a rocket launcher aimed at him or something like that. And then he's like, don't even try. And then Sam Hell's like, the sword. The sword. Yes. He's got a sword on his, a samurai sword on his back.
Pause here, because his hands are up in the air, like right next to his shoulders. And the hilt of the sword is like 4 inches from his hand, max.
Not even that.
But then he's like, the sword. And he's whispering to one of the fertile women who are standing like several feet behind him to grab the sword from his back.
And hand it the 4 inches to his hand.
And they're like, no, 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 no. And she's like, I'm a pacifist. And then she finally breaks and hands him the sword that he could have in that time probably grabbed 14 times.
And in a split second, he throws the sword perfectly through the chest of this guy up on the hill pointing a rocket launcher at him.
It was impressive.
It was really impressive. And then they run away. Sam goes, I love this part. This part's hilarious. Sam goes to check and make sure he's dead. Mm-hmm. The guy who he just put a sword through his entire chest.
Oh, I also want to pause here. Sorry to interrupt. But he says, or at this point, I realize he has a tuxedo shirt on. It's all torn up, but it's a full-fledged tuxedo shirt.
Who?
Sam.
Is wearing a tuxedo shirt?
Yes. It's like a bluish tuxedo shirt.
Oh.
And it's the first time I noticed it. And I was like, why is he wearing a tuxedo shirt? And why am I just now noticing?
Never noticed
it. Okay, go ahead.
So after he throws the sword through the chest, mm-hmm. like through the front, all the way through the back. The guy's laying dead on the ground. He goes up to check him, like kicks him with his foot. He's like face down. He's like, okay, he's dead. He walks off. And as he's walking away, the guy who, keep in mind, just had a samurai sword go through his entire body, mm-hmm. pops up like, surprise, like like a Friday the 13th kind of thing, with a rocket launcher on his shoulder to shoot at him. And then Sam shoots him and kills him. But this part was hilarious. This is one of those parts that I don't think was intended to be funny, but was probably one of the funniest parts of the whole movie.
It was ridiculous.
Why in the world would a guy who just took a sword through his entire body...
Yeah, like front to back.
A hideout pretending to be dead just long enough for him to walk away so that he could like bounce up with full energy to shoot a rocket at him.
I mean, at this point, this is a great scene.
And then he kills him, but then the Frog Lord comes and it's like final battle time.
Yeah, he goes back to the car. It's like burning in pieces, but it's like very carefully dismantled. Did you see that?
Yeah, but Sam thinks that it's been blown up and everybody's dead.
Yeah, but it's like just pieces very nicely resting.
And he tries to shoot the Frog Lord with a rocket launcher, but it doesn't work.
Yep.
And so then they go into this battle, the final battle, and they're punching and kicking on top of a cliff.
Like poking each other in the eyes. Like
Three Stooges.
Three Stooges.
Style. Yeah.
And it's not funny.
No, it's not. But it's supposed to be. Or is it?
It's so unfunny that it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's kind of like would it be like meta humor?
Mm, okay.
Where it's so not funny that it's like funny?
Deep.
Or is that just B movie?
I think it's just B movie.
I think it's supposed to be like a good B movie is a type who doesn't know it's being funny, like The Room. Like,
yeah.
And then later they're like, no, that was totally supposed to be funny.
You know, as we were watching this, I was like, this is perfect for Mystery Science Theater.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did one for Mystery Science Theater. So there's the final battle, and then the end is the frog guy's hanging over a cliff, and Sam reaches for the sword. You remember, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, you can tell it.
He chops off his hands, and then it goes to a scene of him, the frog guy, falling like from a great distance, waving his arms in the air with his hands fully intact.
That's so dumb.
And it falls and dies. I also have a note. The blood on Sam's face, it looks great. Like, did you get that?
No, I have a note at the part where he was chasing the cop guy, the Border Patrol guy, how the blood was almost hot pink.
Oh, interesting, because at the end, the blood was, like, perfectly colored and, like, coagulated?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looked great. I was like, man, how come they put so much effort into this? But, okay, anyway, that's beside the fact. So, yeah, Frog Guy had his hands cut off, but they mysteriously reappeared right as he was falling.
He dies.
And then Sam's standing there. He has, I don't know if you made note of this. His hair is really clean and well-brushed and groomed.
Well,
but he hasn't showered once.
He's got hair like He-Man.
He does kind of have He-Man hair.
He's got like bangs and then...
But it's like curled.
It's like if He-Man took a curling iron just to the edges of his hair.
It's like He-Man meets Farrah Fawcett.
Okay, I see that.
But it's so clean and nice and it's like blowing in the breeze. And I thought, I mean, it's not like Kurt Russell nice, but it's...
Oh, sacrilegious to even put their names close.
But it's really nice considering what he's just gone through. I mean, he has gone to Frogtown.
He's been to Frogtown and back.
That's right. And he's got nice hair. And okay. then...
Well, he's got interesting hair.
It might not be your cup of tea, but it's still very clean and well-groomed.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that. I'll take that.
And then he finds out, oh, surprise, everybody's still alive. And this is...
Because he had thought all the women were dead for whatever reason.
Yeah, and so he and Spangle are now like an item, and they're cruising, but then she's like, you still have to fulfill your duty to your country. And then he looks back and we get the shot of
the fertile 80s women.
Babes who, holy cow.
It is like a sampler platter of 80s hairstyles.
It's like every Nagel print came to life in the back of that truck.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the Duran Duran cover.
Oh my goodness.
And then he's like, what does he say? What's his closing joke? And I use the term joke lightly. It was like...
A soldier's work is never done.
Or something like that. Oh, and then it ends. And, oh, man.
It's bad.
I love bad movies.
I love bad movies,
especially
too.
Movies like this. But, man, this one...
It was hard.
Didn't age well, and it was pretty painful to get through.
I would say it was hardest knowing that we had to talk about it here. And go, like... You know, not just brush off all of the stuff that we, I think, normally would if it were just us. Like, well, that was inappropriate. Or just say a quick joke to ourselves.
I don't think I'm a fan of this film.
And I'm decidedly not. And I actually gave this some thought because I really don't like to rain on anybody's parade if they're working hard and doing their thing. Good for them. But this was an instance where... it was 1988, and they were treating women that way. And women were letting themselves be treated that way.
With this, that's the reoccurring punchline.
It's
is that, like,
horrible.
He just takes what he wants and is encouraged to. The film was still like, okay, this is a classic 80s, but I don't know. I guess if we're going to do this for the long term, it's okay to once in a while say... Probably don't have to watch that again.
You know, it also kind of felt like it would be on an up all night. Do you remember that? Like,
yeah.
That you'd watch at a slumber party at a friend's house, or I would, that my parents didn't know I would watch.
Yeah.
Like, Brianne's mom would let me stay up late and watch Up All Night, and it would be all those weird, like, kind of pervy, terrible things, but nothing actually risque happens.
Yeah. I would agree.
But it was just real gross, and it leaves you feeling like you're kind of a worse person for having watched it.
Well, and then the xylophone solo score with the ants go marching on, women chanting. So, I just don't get it. Well, that's it, everybody. That's this episode. if you liked what you heard... Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Podbean. We're on Instagram at LaserGraves. I'm on Instagram at EK Wimmer. You're on Instagram at
Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And as always, we really do enjoy you listening to this.
Thank
Hope you're having
so,
fun.
Thank you so, so much.
And we'll see you next week with a brand new episode.
I can't do it. Your face. You're too serious.